I'm going to be speaking tonight out of the book of Joshua, chapter number 4. The book of Joshua, chapter number 4. I was praying that the Lord would help me to be able to help you. And that's my heart's desire tonight, is that God would give something that would help you. I have no idea who's watching. I have no idea who's going to watch later. But God does, and He knows what we all need right now in this minute of this day. I want to preach a message entitled tonight, The Lord's Mighty Hand. The Lord's Mighty Hand. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. Let's read together. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take ye 12 men, out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your love and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to be able to preach again tonight. Bless each one that's listening. God, speak to our hearts. Give us what we need. Strengthen us. Remind us of your mighty hand. In Jesus' name, amen. As I'm studying through the book of Joshua, we get to chapter number 3. And we find that the Jordan's banks were overflowing with water. We find that the people begin to pass over the Jordan on dry ground. And it says that all the people passed over, all the Israelites, on dry ground until all the people were passed over Jordan. When I began to study this, the Lord dealt with me. The first thought that He dealt with me about was the waters was cut off. The waters was cut off. When I get to verse number 7, it says that the waters was cut off, and these people, these Israelites, walked over on dry ground. As I thought about this, I've been thinking about this actually now for about a month. I was thinking about when all of these children of Israel passed over. It tells us in verse number 13 of this chapter, there was 40,000 foot soldiers that passed over during this time. I've been thinking about this for about a month. Wonder what the people down below this was thinking. Those people down below where they had walked over, when all of a sudden they realized that the Jordan River's quit running. When they're out in their workplaces, or they're out in the fields, and they say, Wait a minute, I don't hear the banks overflowing. I wonder what's going on. I begin to think about it. I've been thinking about it for about a month, and I've been praying about it, that the Lord would just give me something and a message that He could help me with about this water being cut off. I believe there was people probably below this that they had fear. There's probably people below where the children of Israel crossed over that they didn't see them crossing over, and they was probably wondering what's going on up the river. There's probably people saying, I wonder why the waters have stopped. I wonder what's going on. And I begin to think about that when the waters was cut off. Let me remind all of us that we're living in a time right now during this coronavirus and all that's going on in our country and all around the world. I believe there's probably some people saying, I wonder what's going on. I wonder why this is taking place. I wonder why this situation is going on in our country and in our world. I wonder why this is happening. But God reminded me as I was studying yesterday, and it helped me a bunch. We have no idea what's going on up the river just a little ways. We have no idea what God's doing. We have no idea the blessings that God is allowing us, probably before long, that one day we'll get to see. And that really helped me when I was thinking about that. And I hope that'll help you this evening. Right now, we feel like maybe the water's being cut off. Ain't no water flowing. What's going on? What do we do? Well, just wait. Just wait. It won't be long. We'll see the blessings of God. We see that the water was cut off, but the second thing that the Lord dealt with me about is, what does it mean? What does this mean? This situation of these children of Israel, about 40,000 prepared for war, passed over before the Lord into battle to the plains of Jericho. What does all of this mean? Well, he told us also in verse number 7 of Joshua 4, he said, this is for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. It's a memorial. See, it's a day to remember. Now, this memorial means it's a record. It's a reminder. When I begin to think about what a blessing this is, this memorial, this reminder, and he said, what I want you to do is I want you to tell your children of the miracle that the hand of God has done in this situation. When we get to verse number 18 of this chapter, it says, and it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of the Jordan, the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up on the dry land, and the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all of his banks as they did before. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. Now listen. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in times to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did also to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. What does it mean? It means that God is going to do a work that only he can do. And it also reminds us that we've got something to tell in verse number 22. What do we tell? We tell all of the great things that God has done in our life, because the title of the message is God's Mighty Hands. God's mighty hands. The water was cut off. What does it mean? It means that God done a blessing that only he could do. I begin to think about that in my life, the mighty hand of God, and how important it is that we remind our families, look, I have no idea everything that's going on right now, but I do know this, God's hand is mighty. And I do know this, that God is able to do things that nobody else can do in these situations. God's mighty hand. The water was cut off. And they're going to use this for a memorial. As each one of these men walked across that Jordan and that ground was dry, and they took those 12 stones and they laid them down and they said, remember from generation to generation, tell your children of the mighty hand of God. We're going through something right now in our country that I've never experienced before. That's why it's so important that you and I as believers, we tell of the mighty hand of God. All the people of the earth might know. Look at verse number 24 of this chapter number 4 of Joshua. That all of the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. That ye might fear the Lord your God forever. That all the people of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is mighty. That word fear there in that verse means to reverence the Lord. The Lord has control of every single thing. There are situations right now in our country that we don't have any control over at all. I find out very fast there's situations in my own life that I can't fix. There's situations amongst my own children and my wife and our close relatives that I can't fix. There's situations going on in our church families that we can't fix. You know what we need to understand? The Lord's mighty hand can. He can fix all things. He can fix all things. He has the power to control that Jordan River. The Lord's hand stopped that water. And I begin to think about that as those children of Israel was walking across, going into the promised land, getting ready to fight these battles and possess all the land that God had promised them that they was going to inherit. And I thought about what a blessing that is. And then the Lord dealt with me about this. What are we going to tell? What am I going to tell, and what are you going to tell? As I began to pray on about what God would have me to do tonight, the Lord dealt with me about that one verse, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. What can I tell you tonight if you're listening? To remind my children that are listening, our youngest daughter's here tonight in the sanctuary. My son and his wife is listening tonight on Facebook, and my daughter's at home listening with her family. What would I remind them of God's mighty hand? The Lord began to deal with me about times in my life. Times in my life when I was a young boy and was not raised in a Christian family. When I growed up in a home where a dad and a mom didn't really see the importance of church, though they loved me and my brothers dearly, I know they did. We was just not a church-going family. But I can see God's mighty hand in my life as a young boy. How God would send people by my way. A man in our neighborhood that now attends a church here where I pastor that would encourage me in the things of the Lord. I look back on that now and I see the mighty hand of God in that. I think about how I started dating my wife and she started inviting me to come to church with her, and I look back on that and I've got to remind myself of the Lord's mighty hand. How he moved into my life and began to deal with me, and he used my wife to influence me to want to go to church. And I think to myself, that was all of the Lord's mighty hand involved in all of that. I think of even a tragedy in my wife's family when her mother and her father separated and she had to move in with her grandparents, and her grandfather was a pastor. You know what I see in all of that? Although it was a bad situation, and although I don't understand it all and my wife didn't understand it all, but looking back on that now, I've seen God's mighty hand, the Lord's mighty hand, just move into that situation. Every time I'd want to go see my girlfriend, I ended up at the pastor's house because that's where she lived with her grandfather. And I look back and I see the mighty hand of the Lord in that. And I've got to remind my family that God is mighty and he knows exactly what we need, when we need it the most. And he can work things to get our attention to where we go, wow, it was God that made it. It was God that allowed that to happen in my life. It was God that moved that. It was God that fixed that. It was the mighty hand of God that stopped that. It was the mighty hand of God that moved that. Amen. We've got to remind our families of the mighty hand of God in our lives. Amen. I was thinking about how I started going to church. I didn't know nothing about church. I knew nothing about the things of God. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. But I see the Lord's mighty hand moved in. I ended up going to church with my girlfriend, Miss Tina, who's my wife. And I'm sitting there in a service on a Sunday morning, and I didn't even really want to be there. I'm talking about the Lord's mighty hand at work. And I'm sitting there in that service, and her grandfather's up preaching, and he's preaching the message, and I'm starting to feel under conviction. The Lord's beginning to speak to my heart for the first time in my life. I'm thinking to myself, I need the Lord. It had never happened to me before. And I'm looking back on that today, and you know what that was? That was the mighty hand of the Lord. It wasn't nothing nobody else could do. It was bigger than people. It was bigger than Papaw. It was bigger than my girlfriend. It was bigger because it was the mighty hand of the Lord moving into my life and showing me what I needed. I've got to remind myself of that, and I've got to remind my children of that. And you need to remind yourselves of the things that God has done that nobody else could have done in your life but Him. Couldn't have known one else have done that but God. He's the only one that could have done that. And I'm sitting there in that service that Sunday, and I knew they was probably going to sing a song and then we was going to be dismissed. And I bowed my head during that service and I prayed this simple prayer: God, if they'll sing one more song after this, when I'll get up out of this seat and I'll go forward and I'll ask You to be my Savior. And I look back on that. And her grandfather finished preaching and they sung a song and they made an altar call for people to come forward and pray. And after they finished that song, her grandfather looked me right square in the eyes and he said, "We're going to sing one more song because somebody here today needs the Lord." God reminded me today it was His mighty hand that done that. The same God that parted those Red Seas, that same God that stopped that Jordan that was overflowing its banks, and He let those thousands of people walk across on dry ground. That's the same God that spoke to me in that church service that day. And I got to be reminded of that. I got to be reminded of God's goodness in our lives. I went forward that Sunday and I kneeled and I prayed the best way that I knew how. I prayed and I asked Christ to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins, to be my Savior. And I'm not proud of this, and I know that there's going to be people watching this who don't know really a whole lot about me, and I'm ashamed of it, but you got to understand, when the Lord saved me that day, you got to understand where I was at. I was way out in the miry clay. I was so messed up in drugs and alcohol in my life. It was awful. And I even tried to stop, and I even tried to change, and I even made promises. But see, I couldn't do it. But the mighty hand of the Lord could.
Amen.
And that Sunday morning when the Lord moved into my heart, He saved my soul, wrote my name in heaven. That was the mighty hand of the Lord that did that. And then little by little, I don't even remember changing. Just little by little, things in my life begin to disappear and new things begin to come. And we begin to go to Bible studies. And little by little, the Lord began to take out different things in my life that no one else before could have. That's the mighty hand of the Lord. And that's what He's saying right here. He said all of these things happened right here at the Jordan so that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. That the hand of the Lord is mighty. His hand is mighty. What has the Lord done in your life that He was the only one that could do it? He was the only one that could. The Lord was the only one that could change me. My mom tried. She threatened me. She tried with everything that was in her to try to get me to do right and live right, and it just wasn't happening. But the mighty hand of the Lord did. Me and my wife got married, and I was working, and she was working, and our first little girl was on the way. I'm just thinking about, I got to remind myself, I got to go back, I got to think back. You need to go back, and you need to think back of the things that God has done that no one else could have done. And it'll help you tonight. I remembered when me and Tina, we hadn't been married real long, and she was expecting our first little girl, and we was doing the best we could do. And then that little girl come, and man, things got hard. I mean, it just got like really, really hard. I was making just ends meet, and she was just barely making it. She had to quit because of the pregnancy and different things, and we were struggling financially. You know, they keep talking about all these jobs that are shutting down and all these different things that are happening in the day that we're living in now. And there's no doubt, there's probably somebody right now, you're thinking, what am I going to do? I remember that we had got down. I didn't have no money for any gas to get to work. We didn't have no diapers. We didn't have no baby formula. And I looked at my wife at that time and I said, call your dad and see if he could give us a little bit of money. And she said, no, I'm not. She said, call yours. And I said, no, I'm not. And I said, what are we going to do? And I remember me and her began to talk about it. And she said, Damon, one thing we can do, we're going to have to pray and trust the Lord in this. And I remember we got down on our knees and we prayed. And we said, God, would you please help us? We're in a situation right now that there is, I don't know anybody else that can help us. Yeah, my pride got in the way. I realized that. And it was either that day or the next day. For some reason, we just got in the car, loaded up. Autumn, she was a little bitty baby, and we just went to the post office. And I remember I went to the post office box, and I stuck that key in and turned it, and it was just crammed full of mail and junk mail and bills. And we started laying that down on the counter there at the post office. We was piling up the bills and we was throwing away the junk mail. And we laid down this one envelope and we didn't know what it was. And I remember my wife ripped that envelope open and looked in it. And she was like, could this be real? I said, what is it? She said, it's a check. It's a check from our doctor. For $500. And I remember we called our doctor and was trying to figure out what was going on. And what had happened was we'd overpaid. And they were sending us that money back. You say, yeah, that's how that happened. That's the explanation behind all of that. Well, you can say that, but the way I look at it, and I've got to remind my family, and I've got to remind the church family that's listening right now, that, I believe, was the mighty hand of the Lord in that situation. He was the one that brought that by. He was the one that knew when we was going to need it. He was the one that sent it right on time when it looked like that everything else was dried up and there wasn't nothing going right and we was down and we didn't know what to do. All we could do was call on the name of the Lord, and what we experienced that day was the mighty hand of the Lord come by. And God reminded me of this stuff today when I was praying and studying. He said, you can't forget about what I've done for you. Because if you forget, that's why he said, set those 12 stones up for a memorial, for a record, so that you could go back. And when you're walking along with your kids and you show them those stones, remind them that you walked across this Jordan, the banks was overflowing, and God stopped them, and you come across on dry land. And when everybody got across, the Jordan began to flow again. That was the mighty hand of the Lord. And he said, I've done it for your fathers and your grandparents. When they come across the Red Sea, that was the mighty hand of the Lord. No one else can do that for us but the Lord. We was talking today, and my daughter even said, I just feel like discouraged right now. I knew what I was going to preach tonight, and I've got to remind her, it's the mighty hand of the Lord. It's helped us. It done things for us that no one else could do. And there's times that I can't fix it and you can't fix it. You can call every preacher in the country and they can't fix it. You can call mamas and daddies and aunts and uncles and best friends and they can't fix it. But let me remind us, God can fix it. He's still in control of all things. Why did that Jordan quit flowing? And I wonder what everybody was doing down below stream, you know? Oh, I wonder what's going on, honey. The Jordan stopped. It's unusual in this time of the year that we're living in that the Jordan would stop. We know that this time of the year the Jordan's banks are overflowing. I wonder what's going on upstream. I'm going to tell you what's going on upstream. Are you hearing me? There's blessings going on upstream. You might not see them right now, but they are blessings going on upstream. Upstream, there's blessings. And you keep hanging on to God, because God's hanging on to you. That all the earth might know. I know this is being posted on Facebook, so I'm going to give you a challenge on Facebook. Everything that you're watching on TV is negative right now. Everything. Everybody that you've been talking to over the last weeks, that's all we're talking about. I want to challenge you. As soon as you finish watching this message, go back and let the Lord remind you of the mighty things He's done in your life. And if you have to, post one of them on Facebook. The Lord's hand is mighty. And He did this for me when no one else could. The Lord's hand is mighty. And He fixed this in my family. The doctors couldn't fix it. The Lord reminded me of my wife when she had cancer. No one could fix that. But the mighty hand of the Lord touched her. He's the only one that could. Take your children. Take your children and sit them down tonight and remind them of how good God's been to us. You say, oh, my kids is grown. They all moved out. Soon as this is over, pick your cell phone up or your phone and you call your kids. And you remind them of the great things that the Lord has done that no one else could have done but Him. We got to encourage one another. God's hand is not short. And I'm so thankful for His goodness in our lives. Amen. I'm going to read this verse one more time and then I'm going to pray. Joshua chapter 4, verse 25. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. And remember that word fear means reverence. Whatever you do in this hard time, do not turn your backs and your hearts away from the Lord. Turn your hearts to God. Remember His mighty hand in your life. And remind your children of how good God's been to us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for the Word of God that has spoke to my heart so real today. Lord, right now I fear that a lot of people standing and they're wondering why the water's not running. They're wondering why the Jordan's not overflowing. They wonder what's happening. Lord, You reminded me that upstream, there's blessings taking place that I might not see them right now. But one day I'll know. And I'll look back and I'll realize the blessings of God. And Lord, let me be reminded that I need to teach my children and remind my children that Your mighty hand has moved in so many situations that it was only You that could have done it. And I pray tonight that everyone that's listening would allow their hearts and their minds to go back to a time, Lord, in their life that You've done something that You was the only one that could have done it. No one else could have but You. And we'll praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.